Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Touch your servant. Speak to every heart here, I pray. Thank you, God, for what you've already done. Lord, we're believing you for great things here tonight in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. No matter the circumstance, we can be victorious. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. There's some saints need some victory in your life tonight. Come on. Has God been doing great things in your life tonight? Hallelujah. I believe that apostolics ought to live in victory. They ought to live every day victorious in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't believe in this stuff. Well, I sin every day. Come on, Christians. You may have a mistake here and there, but by gosh, every day should not be. You're looking for excuses. And you think that everybody else is living that way, so you might as well. That was free. That's not in my message. But we need to be victorious. And I don't care what your situation is, folks. We can be victorious. You know, the ideal circumstance, whatever your ideal circumstance is, it does not guarantee victory. It does not guarantee overcoming lifestyle. And what I'm saying is a lot of people think, well, we want the ideal circumstance. If everything's just right, if God is blessing just the right way, then I can be victorious. Then I can overcome. But let me tell you something, folks. It does not guarantee you victory. Faith in God brings victory in every situation. It does not have to be perfect. You can have the worst day of your life and you can still be victorious. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It said, I am persuaded. I want to know if there's some apostolics here tonight that are persuaded. I don't care what comes, hell or high water, I'm going to be victorious. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, and as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen. Folks, that scripture's saying you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. As I said this morning, sometimes we go through things. It's not all about you. It's about somebody else watching your life, seeing if you have victory in your life. Hallelujah. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. We don't like to hear it, but it's scriptural, folks. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to look at what we face as a child of God. Not a life of ease, is it? Come on. Life is a struggle. Matthew 11:12 talks about the violent. Take it by force. Amen. If you got a struggle in your life, take it by force. Life is a race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, all run in a race. One receives the prize. I'm determined to make heaven my home. Oh, here's a good one. Life is a war. Come on. 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. War, a good warfare. Amen. Faith, folks. Amen. With a good conscience. I am going to win this battle. Something a child of God needs to avoid is this syndrome of if only. Well, if only I had more money, then I would be happy. We need to avoid that, folks. If only I did not have to work with this kind of people that I work with, then I could be victorious. If only I had been born into different circumstances, I would be happy. If only I lived in a different neighborhood, I could live for God. If only, if only, if only. Puke. Listen, folks. Whimsical desires to remove opposing circumstances does not lead to victorious Christian living, but learning to trust the all-sufficient grace of God will lead you into victory. Lead you into victory. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. How? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We don't have ideal circumstances. Amen. You can wish for them all you want. You're not going to live your life in ideal circumstances. We want to live in paradise. We want to live in utopia. Amen. We want to be the Camelot. But our places in man's dreams, these are places that people dream about, which promises a tranquil and a carefree environment in their inhabitants. Is such an environment crucial for our success? We must have a place with no problems, or we can't do it. You see, we are given many occasions in the Bible which nullify the thought that a life of victory is dependent upon ideal circumstances. Lucifer, Satan's name before he fell from heaven. When you read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 17, and I'm talking about, folks, we think sometimes we got to live in this tranquil place, this place, if only. But let me tell you what, this man was in heavens. And as Isaiah 14, 12, 17, how art thou fallen from heaven? You live in a place of peace and perfect, amen, harmony. But how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Lucifer had the ability to create music. In Ezekiel 28:13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis and the topaz and the diamond and the beryl and the onyx and the jasper and the sapphire and the emerald and the cucumber and the gold and the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Lucifer, folks, lived in an ideal situation. Lucifer lived in heaven. But despite all of the places he lived, in the splendidness of heaven, Lucifer was tempted to rebel. Don't tell me if you just had the perfect place to live, you would live for God. You would serve God. Let me tell you, folks, it doesn't matter where you're at unless you live for God with all of your heart and you are determined. Amen. You can fall. Worship the Lord. But despite all this, he was tempted to rebel. You see, his position did not keep him from temptation. Pride sometimes arises when a person's circumstances are close to ideal. You see, when we begin to think that what we have is through the labor of our hands, or that we deserve it, or that we are on the fast track to destruction. You see, pride in accomplishments, pride in talents, pride in skills leads us away from a dependency on God. Proverbs 30, 8 through 9, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You see, Adam lived in paradise. He lived in the Garden of Eden. Folks, Adam had everything. Adam was given food in abundance. In Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Adam not only was given everything he needed in the garden, Adam was given authority. In Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You see, there was only one thing that was withheld from Adam. From Adam, amen, one thing, and that's the one thing that he wanted. A problem with ideal circumstances, folks, is that man always wants that single item which is forbidden. Man always wants that single item. He always desires it. It becomes the object of attraction. It becomes the object of affection. Hey, if I only had this. If I only could get this over here, then I would be satisfied. Folks, we understand, we've heard it probably all of our lives, how people try to keep up with the Joneses. It's just a saying that they've used. Amen. We're never happy with what we have. We've always got to have something or something that somebody else has. King Ahab desired the vineyard of Naboth. Although King Ahab owned many beautiful vineyards, probably all the vineyards around Naboth's vineyard. But see, he was unable to enjoy what he had because of what he did not have. But sometimes children who are given many earthly possessions are not given the love. They're not given the affection that they need. So they begin to seek out this affection through sin and through promiscuous ways. They look at drugs, unbridled passions, and you can go on and on. But listen, folks, the abundance of good things are forgotten in the search for that which they are deprived of. Judas, he was among the 12 disciples. Judas was the treasurer of the disciples. In John 12:29, the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. See, Judas was in a position to steal money from the treasury. In John 12:6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was the thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. While the disciples, amen, he was talking about when she poured out that oil upon the feet of Jesus, amen, and began to wash. Mary washed the feet of Jesus. He says, look, why don't you give that to the poor? He didn't care about that. He just wanted that money in the bag. The other disciples begin to grow in knowledge and power with God, but Judas became more devious. Listen, folks, he wanted that ointment sold for 300 pence. He said, give it to the poor. And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and he bare what was put therein. Listen, Judas' reasoning was not motivated by care for the poor, but his greed for money. When making financial decisions to bless the church, don't let your decision be based upon your unwillingness to give more money to the work of God. Judas had a very sad ending. Judas lost his apostleship. He lost his life and his hope for eternal life. In Acts 1:25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Joseph had a dream. Now, folks, you can have victory in the most difficult circumstances. Come on. There was a jealousy in the presence of Joseph's brothers. In Genesis 37:3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that, they began to hate Joseph. Amen. They began to despise him. They thought, Dad loves him more than us. Remember, though, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was a servant in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lied on him, and he was placed in prison, interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and became ruler of Egypt. You can be victorious in the worst circumstances. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, folks. Joseph was determined that he was going to serve his God no matter where he found himself at. He said, when Potiphar's wife tried to get him, he said, I will not sin against my God. Joseph accepted the difficulties as part of the dream. Hear me? I said he accepted the difficulties as part of the dream coming to pass. You say, well, God told me this and God said that. He didn't tell me I was going to be in this pit. He didn't tell me I was going to find myself in this situation. But Joseph said, hey, it is part of the dream, and it's going to come to pass in the worst of situations. His attitude through all of the situation is what saved him. How is your attitude tonight? Amen. Are we allowing our circumstances? Are we allowing our situations to make us bitter? Are we allowing them to make us better? Come on. Genesis 50 and 20. But as for you, he thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Come on tonight. What is your attitude in your circumstances tonight? Amen. Are you going to live for God and be that light and shine to the people all around you? Or are you going to allow yourself to get bitter and bring everybody down? Oh, John found himself on the Isle of Patmos. But the Bible says, on the Lord's day, in spite of his circumstances, hallelujah, in spite of his environment, the Bible said John was in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. I don't care what circumstance you're in. You can get yourself, amen, in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let me tell you something. Some people can't get in the Spirit unless the music's right. Some people can't get in the Spirit unless they're singing the right song. Amen. Or the message is just right. Amen. I don't know. I hope that preacher preaches a good message tonight, because I need God to move in my life. How about trying to get into it all by yourself? How about beginning to worship God? Amen. And start praising Him and shouting Him. Hallelujah. We need to have the attitude of a conqueror. There is an attitude of faith which stems, folks, from the trust in the love of God. Paul said this, I am persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight? We must be persuaded before the trial ever comes our way. Amen? Then we don't have to worry about making up our minds. Our minds are already made up. Hallelujah. We must not look at chastening as judgment of God. Hear me tonight. Folks, we cannot look at chastening as judgment from God, but as a signal of the love of God. Hallelujah. I stand here tonight. Hear me tonight. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he loves me. And that sometimes he has to just get a hold of me and say, no, you don't do that. No, you don't act that way. I do this because I love you. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 talks about chastening is proof of our sonship. Hallelujah. If ye endure chastening, Hebrews 12:7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Folks, we can be victorious in spite of our circumstances. Come on. We can be victorious. It doesn't matter where you find yourself at tonight. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you tonight, whatever you find yourself in, whatever circumstance you find yourself in tonight, you can have victory. You can be victorious. Hallelujah. Come on, is there anybody that comes up here tonight and say, God, thank you for allowing me to be your son. Thank you, God, for your chastisement. Thank you, God, for victory. Come on, saints of God. Come on, hallelujah. Let's thank you for victory in our lives.